John 3:16, which is in our reading, says this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved. Now that statement is a statement of demonstration and declaration. It's a statement that says God loved, so he did something. He showed you. Now, there's possibly somebody in here today who's never received any message from God about love. The only message you've ever received from God is shame, guilt, remorse, regret, and condemnation. And that's the only thing you've ever heard from a church. You may have been in church every now and then, and usually the preacher's up there, you know, screaming and yelling and preaching and just, you know, just at, what reminds me of a story. Let me tell you a joke. This preacher's in a revival out in South Alabama. They need revival in South Alabama. They're Auburn fans down there, all right? So they all need revival down there, and them Auburn fans need to get some help. So anyways, there's this preacher down there in South Alabama, and he gets sick. He wakes up. Revival started on Saturday, man. A lot of people come to know the Lord. Sunday, people come to know the Lord. Wakes up Sunday, can't talk, sick, not feeling good. So he goes to the doctor, says, "Doctor, the devil is after me, man. We're seeing unbelievable stuff happen. Great things are going on, man. People are coming to know Christ, repenting, all this stuff." He said, I'm just sick. I can't do it. He said, "Okay." He said, "All right, so it's in your throat." He said, "Uh-huh." He said, "Okay, well, drop your pants." He said, "What does that have to do with anything?" He said, "I'm going to give you a shot in your hip." He said, "Well, I can't do that now because I walk around a lot. I'm one of those preachers that walk the aisle, and I walk, and I can't get no shot in my hip." He said, "Okay, roll up your arm." He said, no, I use my arm too. I use both of them. I hold the Bible with one hand, and I point at those nasty sinners with the other. You know, I said, so I can't, you can't do it in the arm." And so the doctor stands there for a minute. He's going, "Well, is there any part of your body you don't use when you're preaching?" He said, "Well, you can try to shoot me up here. I never use my head." Yeah, I can say that. So here's the deal. Some of you are sitting in here, and all you've ever gotten when you've gone to church is beat up, knocked down, and kicked around. That is not the message of the manger. The message of the manger is this. Mankind is broken. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself. All of us are broken. When we're alone, when we're by ourselves, when the lights are off, and there's nobody to distract us, when we're not on the computer or the iPad or whatever, and it's just us, we recognize the reality that in our soul and in our life, there are areas that are broken. There are areas that are just not right. Maybe we have unforgiveness towards someone else. Maybe someone has unforgiveness toward us. Maybe we hold bitterness and anger. Maybe we are just racked with regret and suffering with what ifs. Maybe we're sitting there believing we're the most misunderstood genius in the world. That's why we have all the problems. Anybody ever thought everybody else in the world was dumb but you? Raise your hand, you're in church. Right? Everybody's the problem in the world except me. I'm the misunderstood genius. You know, it's me. I'm right. Everybody else has a problem. And you lay there at night frustrated that the world doesn't honor you like it should. That leads to even more brokenness. You know, the message of the manger is this. It's 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus came to earth. Now, you can have questions about that. You can have things about that you don't understand. How can Jesus, all God and all man, come into the womb of a woman and be born? How can that happen? That's a legitimate question. Theologians have pondered that for years and still haven't figured out all the ins and outs of it. It's called the divine mystery. It's just sort of what that is. But at Christmas, here, we look at this. We say that Jesus brought many things, but the four things that will change your life for sure is that he will bring peace, hope, joy, and love into your life if you know him. So if you're here today, I want to encourage you to just track with us for a few minutes. I promise you, if you'll listen fast, I'll talk fast, and we'll get done. But these next few minutes, truly, the Lord can change your life. Well, what does the Bible say about how God demonstrated his love? Well, the first thing I would share with you is this. John 3:16 said he sent his son. But over in Romans 5:8, the Bible says, "But God showed his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, I want you to think about that. God knowing every sin you would ever commit, God knowing all the rebellion in your heart, all the bad things you would say or do or think. Now, I know this is true because it's true of me. I bet it's true of you. you've thought a whole lot worse things than you've done. Can I get at least an amen on that? Right? I mean, you know, I've teased about this for years and years and years and years. But one day, I may not see it, and some of us may not see it, but I bet our grandkids will see it. They're going to have a device that they can shoot at your head. I'm zoning in on Megan right now. That they can shoot at your head, and they can project your thoughts up on screen, and everything you're thinking is going to be on screen. And then they're going to get to the point where they can sort of dial it back. They're going to get to the point where they can dial it back and look at all of your memories. Now, let me ask you a question. If I had that device up here right now where I could just beam what you're thinking up on the stage, how many of you would leave? And the other half of you are sleeping, so you're not even hearing me right now. Right? Now, if I could dial it back and look at your memories and the things you've done in your past, how many of you would certainly leave? Everybody raise your hand in church. Oh, come on. Everybody in this room has something they don't want people to know. Sure you do. You know what Romans tells us? The Apostle Paul says this. In that while you were sinning, while you were actively rebelling against God, and God knowing all the stuff you were doing, guess what? He loved you anyway. And he demonstrated his love for you anyway. And that he sent his son to die for you. In all of your rebellion and all the things that we've done wrong, God knew it from the beginning of time. And guess what? He still sent his son to die for you. Now, isn't that amazing that he would send his son? Jesus, who next Sunday is Christmas Eve. Amen. I hope every one of you are here and you bring your friends. It's going to be an awesome time. Christmas Eve. We're going to celebrate the coming of Jesus. And Jesus came for one reason. To die on the cross for our sins. Now, I got to tell you something. There's a lot of you in here that I like. There's a lot of you in here I love. There's none of you I love enough to give one of my kids for. Now, I love Carson and Parker more than anything on this earth. Even more than the dog, so y'all hush that argument. Everybody thinks I love the dog more than I love the kids. That is not true. She's just cheaper. She don't cost me near as much money as those boys do. And we have a lab, and anybody ever been a lab owner? Man, they're just grown-up babies, aren't they? That's all they are. But I do, and I got to tell you, I love you. And I like you. But I wouldn't give one of my boys for you. I mean, if it came down to one of my boys, are you going to hell? I'm going to pray for you. Because you're not getting one of my boys. That's just not how it works. But God loved you. Right where you are. Right like you are. Just like you are today, the Bible says, and he sent his son for you because he loves you that much. If you didn't know that, boy, I hope that begins to change your life. He loves you so much. Well, another way the Lord demonstrates his love for us, Franklin Graham said it like this. He said, no matter what storm you face, you need to know that God loves you. And he has not abandoned you. No matter how you feel today, no matter what circumstances and situations have driven you into a hole, into a quagmire, into a dark room, in a dark space, no matter how lonely and miserable you may feel in a room of over 200 people, let me tell you something. God loves you right where you are, and he has not left you in any way. Some of you are going through some pretty bad storms. Some of them are financial. Some of them are physical with your health. Some of them are relational. Look, one thing is for sure, if you live long enough, storms are going to come. You just can't avoid that. Storms are going to absolutely come at you. And I love what Franklin says when he says, no matter what you're going through, God loves you and he's not abandoned you. No feelings can cause you to believe and know that God has left you, because he most certainly, certainly has not. The third thing we know about God's demonstrated love is God loves each of us. St. Augustine said this, that God loves each of us as if there was only one of us. Isn't that cool? God loves each of us as though there were only one of us. Let me tell you a little bit. There's an old preacher. He's with the Lord now. named E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill was from Los Angeles, the Watts area. He was a big African-American guy and went into the worst part of L.A. and built a great church. Had 150 different outreach ministries at the time of his death. Unbelievable ministry in that area. I mean, if you were a cross-dressing, transvestite, homosexual, Satan worshiper, they had a support group for you. Are you with me? It didn't matter who you were or how you labeled yourself. They believed God's love was for you. And they were going to do everything they could to get God's love to you in a productive way. And E.V. Hill preached a sermon. I heard it. It came to my university when I was there, called God at His Best. And I won't preach it because I wouldn't do it justice and y'all don't want to be here an hour. So here's basically what he said. He said, God created the heavens, all the stars and all the firmament, all the beauty of the night sky, all the universes that are out there. He said, it would be easy to say God's at His best, right? That's not God at His best. And he said, I want you to look at the earth. He said, look at the mountains and the seas and the valleys and the beauty of the prairie and the plain and all the beauties of the earth that is here. And he said, now you would happen to think that's God's at His best, right? No, it's not God. He said, we have to press on. He said, then God created man because He wanted fellowship with him. And He created man and woman that are beautiful and wonderful and creative and clever. And you would have to think that's God's at His best. But he said, no, we got to press on. And he said, but then God sent Jesus to be born of a virgin. He said, certainly that miraculous happened. He had to be God at His best, right? No, we got to press on. He said, then Jesus died on the cross, and certainly Jesus' death on the cross has to be God at His best. But then he said something. He said, I don't understand that. He said, that's too big for me. He said, I can't comprehend how God could send His Son for us. That's just too big for me. He said, so we got to press on. He said, and there's been a lot of steps that led into the graveyard, but no steps that led out. He said, so maybe His resurrection, the steps leading out of the graveyard, was God at His best. He said, certainly when Jesus conquered the grave, that's God at His best. He said, no, we got to press on a little bit. And then he went to Peter and said, when God talked to Peter and brought him back into fellowship after he had denied him and told him he loved him, he said, certainly that was God at His best. He said, no. He said, that was too long ago, 2,000 years ago. I can't understand that. But then he said, God was at His best when a little 11-year-old boy in Goodway, Texas, right outside of Fort Worth, fell into the middle, on his knees, in the middle of a dirt road, and begged the God of creation to come into his heart and change his life. And he did. He said, now that was God at His best. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and was born in a manger to demonstrate God's unbelievable love for you, knowing all the sin you would commit, all the rejection you would do, everything that would be labeled among the bad side of the ledger. He knew it all, and He loves you anyway. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. That's God at His best. Loving you right where you are and loving you toward where you need to go. God loves each of us just like there was only one of us. Now, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, or what your doubts are. God loves you right where you are. You can't out-question God. Now, some of you in here, you have some legitimate questions. Terry, I'd like to believe the gospel, but I don't understand evolution. Well, neither does the teacher that taught it to you. Oh, I'm not real smart, but I've read a few books in my day and read a little bit on that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of questions there, but guess what? Doesn't have anything to do with the gospel. Some of you may say, I don't understand why children die. I've heard so much of that lately. I don't either. But what does that have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to earth and dying for your sins and resurrecting from the grave? What does that have to do with that? Some of you are saying, well, Terry, you don't understand. My life has been nothing but an absurd tragedy or a tragic absurdity. I don't know which it is, but it's been one of the two. And I'm telling you, I can't get through it. I don't know why that is. But here's what I know. God loves you, and He gave His Son for you. And if you were the only person in the world, He would have done it for you because He loves you that much. a lot of demonstrations of God's love. But you know, one of the greatest ways that we know the babe in the manger grew up to love us so much is when he says no. Max Lucado said this: God loves us too much to indulge our every whim. God loves us too much to indulge our every whim. One of the greatest acts of love you get from the Lord is no. That went over good. I'm looking out, it's flatline. You know, we need heart monitors, Doc. Let's get the heart monitors out. I have flatlined on that one. God loves you enough to say no. All of us who've had children understand one of the hardest things you do, but one of the greatest things you do for your kids at times is to tell them no. If they grow up hearing only yes, then they think the world is their oyster and they're owed. They become entitled. And when they become entitled, they're not manageable. They will not be productive. They will not be good citizens. They will not be capable adults. They simply won't. The God of heaven exemplifies perfect parenting when we pray for something earnestly and it's not in the best interest of the kingdom, which matters most, and it's not in the best interest of you in the long term, and he says no. Sometimes God says no. A great demonstration in the manger was no. By Jesus' birth, there were some clear no's stated. Let me give you just a couple. One, every other religious pursuit is empty. So don't do it. There's a no down other religious pursuits. Buddhism is a great ethical system, but it's not the gospel. Hinduism has some great ethical components to it, but it's not the gospel. Right? Those who follow Confucius, some good truths, but not the gospel. Islam touches about a couple of true things, but it's not the gospel. When Jesus was born, it was a decisive no to every other religious pursuit, and only a yes toward him and the gospel. I also said no to this. Your priorities, your passions, your plans do not matter more than God's. Now that is very unpopular in the 21st century church, because we want a bellhop God, don't we? Any of y'all ever stayed at a hotel like with concierge service and room service, all that? Hey, I need a blah, 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 bacon, lettuce, and tomato, and you know, whatever, and I need it now. Thank you. We want God to be a bellhop. Just call him on. How many of y'all, new Burger King opened up in Palatka, flash, big news, news flash.
New Burger King in Palatka.
All right. Newsflash, should be on the front page of the paper. New Burger King, right? I think it was on the front page of the paper, by the way. All right? How many of y'all remember Burger King's old saying? You remember what it was? Have it. And that's how people want to come to God. They think God is a have it your way God. It's all about you. Have it your way. Now, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man. He created everything in the universe. And he sent his son to die for you. But guess what? It's still all about you. Something wrong with that? As we're thinking it through on Sunday morning, doesn't that seem sort of odd? But we've been trained to think like that. The babe in the manger calls us 2,000 years ago to a big no in that area. But always understand this, that God's no means there's a better yes every single time. Well, how can God demonstrate all of this love? Because over in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says this. It says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God can demonstrate this amazing love to me and you because at his very essence and nature, he is God. And he is completely love. That means love without any hooks. Let me talk to you for just a second about that. Everybody in this room loves someone or something. We do. We all love somebody or someone. But we love because when we love, we get something in return. No matter how sacrificial we are, no matter how magnanimous we are, no matter how hard we try not to be, we love because ultimately something comes back our way. It's a good feeling, it's a good thought, it's a bit of security, it's a bit of satisfaction. Something comes back our way. It's called loving with a hook. Now our hook might be a little bitty one, but we love ultimately because something comes back to us. Now, that in and of itself isn't necessarily wrong, but we have to recognize this morning the clear difference between that kind of love and the love God has. God loves and needs nothing in return. Matter of fact, what did Romans say? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love towards us. That while we were yet in rebellion to his very law, he made a way for our salvation. Because God is not a vacillating, weak human whose feelings get hurt, whose emotional quotient is that of a second grader, not to demean second graders, but, you know, he's not that. He is holy and other. Karl Barth said this. Karl Barth, the German theologian, said that God is wholly other, meaning he is completely different than who we are. He's not composed the same way we are. He loves completely. He doesn't need anything in return to be God. He's not waiting for one of us to die so the Trinity can become a quartet. I've always said, now maybe when Gaither dies, there's an argument, right? Those of you who know Bill Gaither, you know, the Lord might be, you know, whipping up a quartet after Gaither kicks off. I don't know, right? Not sure. So here's the deal. Right here, right now, you can know the love of God like never before. And I'll close with this. Because God is love, perfect love, and because that love can transform the hardest heart, it can warm the coldest soul, it can resurrect the most dead spirit. I'll tell you one story. Many of you know who Charles Stanley is. Charles Stanley is quite aged now, still on TV, but he's getting on, he's about 80. But back years ago, he told a story. Early in his ministry, he hit a wall. Now, Charles Stanley's pastor, First Baptist Atlanta, for years had the largest media ministry all over the globe for years and years and years. He hit a block in his life. He was preaching out of his head, not out of his heart. He would study, but there was no passion. He didn't know what was going on, and frankly, he was ready to quit. So what he did is he called up a couple of his buddies. Now, I actually heard this story from Charles Stanley in Atlanta. Couple of his buddies, he said, I want you to meet at this hotel. We're going to go to this city. Meet me there. I'm in crisis. I need help. Issue one, when you're in crisis, get help. If you're in crisis this Christmas, my phone number is right here. Call me. I can listen. Don't go through a crisis alone. Just doesn't work well that way. So he calls up these guys. They meet in this hotel room, and he starts to pour out his heart. He starts to say, you know, I don't know what's going on, blah, 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 blah. So one of the guys said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stay here as long as we need to. And you're going to talk, and we're going to write notes. And we want you to tell us everything about your life. Everything you did, everything you remember you thought, everything you did or didn't do. Get it out so we can hear it. Now, I'm not signing up for that. Anybody with me? I'm not signing up, but Charles did. And so they're sitting in this room, and he's talking. And he's giving everything he did. Boom, boom, boom. Went on 3 days. A lot of stones unturned in 3 days, folks. Went on 3 days. Everything he did, everything he thought, everything he felt, what he boom, 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 went on, all of his questions, all of his doubts, everything for 3 days. So it finally ended in the afternoon. And right when it ended, he said, okay, what do you think? It was quiet for a little bit. And then one of the guys spoke up and said, Charles, have you ever felt the love of God? And he broke. He fell to his knees and started squalling like a baby. He said, I've never felt the love of God. He said, I've always believed it. I've taught it. It's in the Bible. But I've never felt the love of God in my life. Folks, I'm going to tell you something today. Your life can be radically different if you'll ask the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring the feeling of the love of God into your life. You'll be different. Will you be perfect? No. Will you still make mistakes? Yes. But the trajectory of your life will be fundamentally different. Charles Stanley left that room. and his ministry turned a 180. It advanced with power and persuasion. He said he wasn't angry anymore at people. He lived above petty circumstances and petty conversations and petty gossip and all that pettiness that keeps us shackled in mediocrity. He said he just raised above that because the love of God elevated him. We're going to pray in just a minute. And some of you need to know that God loves you today. You need to feel the love of God, maybe for the first time. Some of you need to know Christ. You need to come to know the babe in the manger that gives us all this wonderful stuff when he invades our lives with his presence. But here's what's for sure. As much as I love you and I like you, I can't do it for you. As much as your mama or grandmama may love you and like you, they can't do it for you. Your salvation is between you and the Lord and no one else. We could tell you we love you, but God will show you if you'll ask him. I promise you he will. Pray with me if you will. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we only do that not out of religious practice, but just to be respectful to those around us who may be struggling with some spiritual questions. That's why we do that, just to be respectful. So with that, with that being said, I want to ask you, how many of you here right now would say, Terry, I have never felt the love of God in my life. Just raise your hands. I've never really felt it. Raise your hands. Have courage. Have courage. God draws near an honest heart now. God draws near an honest heart. Thank you. Put them down. Several. God draws near an honest heart. He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's what the Bible says. So just be honest. I'm going to pray for y'all in just a minute. How many of you would say right now, Terry, I would love to embrace Christ as Savior today, but I have questions that I need answered. Would you just lift up your hand so I could pray for you? I have questions. Just lift up your hand. Anybody in the room, just lift up your hand. Okay. How many of you would say right now, Terry, I'm ready to receive the Lord. I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ. I know the Christ of Christmas has awakened faith within my heart, and I now need to believe, and I need to put my faith in him. If that's you, I want you to pray this right there where you are. Just pray, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for allowing me to pray. Thank you for awakening faith within my heart. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you resurrected from the grave on the third day. And right now, I place my faith and trust in you alone for salvation. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for changing my heart. If you prayed that prayer or something like it, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand for the first time. Just lift it up right now. 1, 2, 3. Lift it up wherever you are. Wherever you are. Just lift up your hand. Anybody. Okay. Let's pray. Well, Father, many have said they've never really felt your love in their life. Lord, this isn't something that can be manipulated or conjured up. You, living God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, have to invade their hearts and their lives in such a way that they sense and know your love. Lord, I don't know how each person needs to receive that, but you do. And so we trust you to move in their hearts and their lives right now. Father, there are people here who are struggling, and their struggle is so real they can't even admit it in a public forum. I get it. I've been there. So, Father, I pray specifically for them that there's no shame on them, and Father, there's no guilt on them or condemnation on them. That Father, they're free to respond to you, Lord, as you speak to their heart and their life. Lord, continue to deal with them. Father, thank you for this time in your word. Jesus, thank you for demonstrating the love of God to us. We ask all this and thank you for all this in Jesus' name, in your name, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Ryan, come on up.